So today's douchebag alert goes to you, man in the pickup truck. Beep, 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 beep.
Yeah, it really does, though.
It does.
This is episode 6, if you didn't know.
And now you know.
And we are drinking our loaded teas.
This is our second recording of the day.
It is. And we are, we needed this loaded tea.
Yes.
We were fading.
It was because of the Chick-fil-A.
It was the Chick-fil-A.
It was.
Yeah. That dude was such a D-bag.
He really was. Like, how dare you yell at them? All right. They don't know what we're talking about.
Oh, my God.
So we went to the Chick-fil-A, and they have 3 lanes open, and this dude in this big old pickup truck is, like, in this little skinny, tiny lane, and he's, like, driving around to the actual, like, pay area, and Chick-fil-A has all these cones, and he, like, runs some over, and he yells at them out the window to move the cones.
D-bag alert! His truck was also sitting on the Carolina Squatter, and if you don't know what that is, it's where your front tires are higher than your back tires, and you look like a douchebag.
Douchebag.
Douches of the bags.
So today's douchebag alert goes to you, man in the pickup truck. Beep, 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 beep.
Beep, beep, beep. Yeah, it really does, though.
It does.
So we ate Chick-fil-A, and now we're having a loaded tea.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know who we are, and you just turned us on, and you're like, what are they talking about? I'm Brooke.
And I'm Ashley.
And this is?
Teachers Who Talk Crime, 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 Crime.
Podcast.
That was good.
That was really good.
Oh. Oh, man.
So, it is episode 6.
Numero 6.
And we are just grinding out these episodes, and we hope you like it. And if you do like us, we have some socials that we want to tell you about.
And first, we're going to get into our tickety talks.
Yep. Mine is southern.math.teacher.
And mine is Branny. That is Brant with 3 Y's. And an underscore.
Don't forget the underscore.
Don't do it.
And our Instagram, who is now up to 77 followers.
Bam, 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 bam.
I mean, are we famous or what?
I mean, when are they going to start paying us?
I swear. Is Teachers Talk Crime on the gram.
On the Grammy. Follow us.
Yep. And we also have a Buy Me a Coffee. If you're interested in getting us through these days where we need all the caffeines. The caffeines of the fiends.
And today would be a great day.
Yep. And that is at buymeacoffee.com/TTC podcast.
Wait, it's not a .com?
I think if you just typed it in like that, it would work.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Try it and see. And if it doesn't work, type in www.buymeacoffee.com/TTC podcast.
Either way, that's where we're at. That's where you'll find us.
We just gonna jump right in?
Are we? I think we should.
I probably told a douchebag story.
Yeah, we already did tell the douchebag story.
Yeah.
Well, today, I don't want to say today. This episode is all Brooke's.
It is mine. And it is, woo, that's a doozy.
Dang, not another doozy.
It is a doozy.
Dang.
So, with that said, sit down, shut up. The murder is about to begin.
Right now.
Pardon the interruptions. Teachers Talk Crime would like to disclose that some of the things discussed on this podcast are their opinions. Ashley and Brooke are not pointing the blame on anyone. They are just two teachers with a microphone. Thank you. And away we go!
Ashley, I just do not think you're ready for this.
I don't think I am either.
This is the crime of Mary Bell.
Mary Bell?
Mary Bell was an 11-year-old serial killer.
11?
It's like the age of your youngins. Not your kids, but students.
Yeah.
Almost. It's between mine and yours.
Yeah, because my students are 9 and yours are grown.
13.
Yeah.
Ooh!
I don't like that.
Oh, Lord. Okay. So let's just get into it. This case, to me, in my opinion, is a prime example of nature versus nurture. We'll see in the end how like an upbringing can affect the actions of someone, and that's kind of why I chose this case, just to show the environment you live in really does impact, is the right word.
Yes.
Your way of life and your choices for your future.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So Mary Bell was only 10 years old when she committed her first murder.
Dang!
Yes. And went on to commit others. But let's back up and let me explain how we got here. Mary Bell was born on May 26, 1957, to Betty, a 16 to 17-year-old prostitute at the time.
Dang, Betty.
Yeah. And keep in mind, we're in the 50s. Oh. So, yeah. That, like, this is, like...
No good.
Yeah, no bueno. Mm-mm. Betty reportedly told doctors during birth, "Take that thing away from me."
Dang.
When she saw Mary Bell. Things quickly went south from that moment on. Betty was never home. She was always, air quotes, away on business out of spite towards Mary Bell. She also suffered from bipolar disorder and was an ongoing alcoholic. However, it wasn't much better for Betty when Betty was around because Betty abused Mary Bell.
Oh.
Both mentally and physically.
Poor Betty. Well, not Betty. No, Mary Bell.
Right.
Not you, Betty.
We don't like you, Betty.
You're horrible.
Yeah. Mary Bell was a habitual, this is just an example of the abuse that Mary Bell suffered at the hands of her mother. Mary Bell was a habitual bedwetter, which, name a child that hasn't wet the bed.
Mm-hmm.
Like, this is a normal thing, and this it happens.
Yeah.
So Mary Bell actually was scared to go to bed out of fear that she would wet the bed.
Oh.
When she did this, Betty would rub her face in it. And even hang the mattress outside of the neighborhood for everyone to see.
That is so disgusting.
Yeah.
That is absolutely disgusting. And imagine what that little girl felt. Like, this is a bodily function that you haven't perfected yet. Potty training is the worst.
I've never had to potty train a child.
Oh, please don't. Imagine doing two at the same time.
Exactly. I'd remember that Snapchat with poop all over the toilet.
Like, yeah, it was pretty disgusting.
And that was fun times.
Yeah.
So, Betty Bell later went on to marry Billy Bell. And yes, you're probably thinking, okay, last names. Billy Bell is reported to be allegedly Mary Bell's father, and now the two are married. He was also an armed robber and a career criminal. So, a real winner.
So, he was a POS, too.
Yeah, winner meets winner.
Dang.
Yeah. The family, if that's what you even want to call it, lived in a very poor and not-so-safe area of town. And keep in mind, this is the 50s. This area was known for low employment rates and being in the lower class.
Hmm.
Betty got no better after the marriage to Billy, and her sister even once witnessed Betty trying to give Mary Bell away to a woman who had been unsuccessfully trying to adopt. So Betty actually went to an adoption clinic with Mary Bell and saw this woman outside and, like, gave this woman Mary Bell.
Just gave her away.
Just gave her away.
For free.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And I mean, not that you should pay for children, but, like, oh, my God.
You shouldn't pay for children, but still, you just walked up and just handed a stranger your baby.
Like the baby that you birthed.
Uh-huh. Yeah. So, luckily, Betty's sister had followed them and kind of intervened and ended up actually recovering Mary Bell from this woman that Betty had given her to.
Oh, shout out to her sister.
Yes. But it's so weird to think about this interaction now, because had that woman kept Mary Bell, we probably wouldn't even be talking about this.
Yeah.
You know?
Because if she was there, she must have really wanted a baby.
Right. So look at this. The woman had already, within the few hours of having Mary Bell, bought her brand new clothes.
Oh.
Yeah.
We wouldn't even be here.
Yeah. Oh, goodness, Betty. Goodness.
She's the woat.
She's awful. People have since said that Mary Bell was very accident prone, again in air quotes, and that she was always falling and accidentally overdosing on sleeping pills. Where are your pills in this house right now? Like your medicine?
In my room.
Not near your children?
No.
Exactly.
And they're, no, everything's in like high shelves, so they can't get it.
Okay, so there you go.
Because, again, I'm a mother. A caring one.
Right, but Betty was a child raising a child.
Yeah, she don't.
So. Some people say that Betty used these accidents for attention. And you're going to see later on that Betty loved attention. And she loved and enjoyed this sympathy that she got from all of her daughter's, air quotes, accidents. According to Mary herself, her mother began to prostitute her out when she was just 4 years old.
No. Mm-hmm. No.
Yeah.
Not at all.
But this was not supported by other family members, just Mary herself. However, people began marking Mary Bell as a lost cause. Mary Bell suffered trauma everywhere she looked, it seemed. Mary Bell even witnessed her friend, a five-year-old, and at the time Mary Bell was four, a five-year-old. And it was at this point, this was Mary Bell's only friend, and they were out playing. And she witnessed her getting run over and killed by a bus.
Oh, my gosh.
In front of her.
How do you even recover?
Right. This was her first account with death.
And not her last.
Apparently. Given all this, people from school said that Mary, by the age of 10, had become a strange, withdrawn, compulsive liar, violent and manipulative, always on the edge of violence.
I mean, do you blame her?
You have an abusive mother, an alcoholic and criminal father, and you watched your best friend die at 5 years old.
Yeah. It's kind of warranted. But, you know, it sucks that you had to go down that route. But, like, the life that she was living was not a life that a child that young should be experiencing.
Exactly. So, Mary Bell, like her mother, had displayed a lot of bipolar tendencies. She would just snap randomly and just be outraged for no reason. This didn't leave Mary Bell with a lot of friends, except for Norma Bell. They had no relation. Apparently, Bell is just a really popular last name back in the day.
Like Billy Bell, Betty Bell, Mary Bell.
We got all the Bells.
Mad Bells.
And now we have Norma Bell.
Damn.
Not related, though. Norma was Mary Bell's only friend. So, weeks before Mary Bell committed her first murder, she had been acting out and being very strange. On May 11th, 1968, Mary Bell and Norma had been playing with a three-year-old boy when he was badly injured in a fall from the top of an air raid shelter. Mary and Norma took this boy, who was bleeding from his head,
oh my God,
to a local pub. And I don't know where you're listening to this. If you don't know what a pub is, it's basically a bar. Claiming they found him beside a shed nearby. And his parents ended up, like, believing Mary and Norma when they told them that it was just an accident and he had merely fallen due to clumsiness. So they thought.
But why did they take him to a pub and not the hospital?
Right. Exactly. The boy did end up making a full recovery, and there were actually no questions asked of this incident, and it wasn't even looked into further. The police were called, an ambulance was called, the kid made a full recovery, and the police just kind of brushed it off as this was an accident. They didn't even look into it.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Later on, Mary did end up admitting that it was her who had pushed the boy off the ledge herself.
I wonder why she decided to come clean.
Well, she came clean.
Like after the fact?
Way after.
Okay.
So, yes. But I do want to point out she did admit this later.
Mm.
The day after this incident with the boy falling off the air raid shelter, the very next day, on May 12th, after this accident was reported,
mm-hmm.
three moms in the area came to the police station and said that Mary Bell had attempted to choke their daughters during play dates and playtime. Unprovoked, 100% unprovoked.
Oh.
Mary was in the play box sand area. I think of a sandbox, old school sandbox.
Yeah.
And these three girls were playing and she snapped. She was with Norma. Norma held the girls down and Mary started choking the girls and began shoving sand down their throats.
Oh my gosh.
When the sand wasn't going down their throats fast enough, in Mary's opinion, she started shoving her fingers down their throats.
Wait, did you say that her friend was helping her hold them down?
Norma was helping her hold them down.
What is wrong with these Bells, bro?
One of the girls ended up turning purple. And Norma realized it and got up. She kind of didn't really understand the severity of her actions. And she got up and, like, ran home.
Because she was scared.
Yeah, right. The police gave Mary Bell a good old-fashioned lecture.
Because that works.
And that was the end of it.
Don't you shove your fingers and sand down someone's throat. Go head home. Bye. Have a nice day.
Go eat dinner. It's dinner time now.
Yum, yum.
Like...
Yikes.
Because of this lack of intervention, the next event was even allowed to occur. Like, you had all the means up front to prevent these things.
Yes.
Like, so what happened next should have never happened. So the next day, after a lecture by police, on what I assume was just like a stop being weird and be a normal kid kind of lecture, which we just talked about, on May 25th, 1968, the day before her 11th birthday, Mary Bell strangled a 4-year-old boy, Martin Brown, in an abandoned house in Scotswood, England. So this crime does take place in England, not America, and you will see the laws come into play here soon.
I mean, when you said pub, I had an idea.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Martin was an adorable boy, so freaking cute. He was full of smiles and laughter. And when I was going through this case and all the sources, I was like, okay, why are these kids just like hanging out in abandoned places just outside? Mm-hmm. Well, it was the 50s. And this is before, you know, the whole Don't Talk to Strangers Act came into play. And kids just, when the sun was up, they were out playing.
Yep.
And they didn't have curfews and stuff. People weren't crazy back then, except for Mary.
I mean, they probably were crazy. They was just hiding it, unlike Mary.
Right. So, Mary fled the scene of the crime after killing and strangling Martin Brown. And she went to her friend's house, Norma, where two boys had actually already beaten Mary there. And these two boys were out playing in this abandoned house, and they came across Martin Brown's body. And they had gone and contacted these local, like, construction workers nearby. And the construction workers called the police and the ambulance and all of that.
Yeah.
But by the time Mary Bell had made it to Norma's house, these two boys had already told Norma what was going on and what they had found and blase, blase, blase. Police were confused, and obviously Mary Bell did not come forward to admit what she had done. There was very little blood at the scene. And really, honestly, no evidence at all at the scene. There was some saliva, okay?
Hmm.
And a bottle of painkillers, which was known to be like aspirin, a modern, that time period's aspirin.
Okay.
Next to the body. So why are pills around children? Not really sure. The police took all of this evidence and assumed that Martin Brown had swallowed the pills thinking they were candy.
I mean, I can't. That makes sense. That makes sense. But can you really OD on aspirin like that?
I guess if you're 3.
Oh, true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A whole bottle?
But, like, she strangled him. There weren't any marks on his neck?
That's what we're getting at.
Yeah. Oh.
So, they just assumed that he had swallowed these pills. There was no blood. There was saliva and a pill bottle next to him.
Mm.
Boom, bam. There was an exam on the body done, but no cause of death could be determined. Therefore, the death was officially ruled an accident. This death sparked something in the community. The people of the community did protest and have marches to have these abandoned buildings and houses taken down.
Yeah.
They believed that this was because they thought that's how Martin had died, that he had just gone into this abandoned building, went up these flight of stairs, got scared to come down, saw this random pill bottle, thought it was candy. He's a 3-year-old. He's just curious.
Mm-hmm.
So the community was actually blaming all of these demolition companies. You come in, you knock these buildings down, and then you do nothing with them.
And then you leave things in there, and then kids are roaming around because it's the 50s. So.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's a hazard. So not many days later, Norma and Mary Bell were playing at Norma's house. And Norma's dad actually walked in on Mary Bell strangling Norma's sister. He ran in, separated the two, and knocked it up as if they were just playing and told them to stop.
I'm sorry, but I have 2 5-year-old children and they do not play like that.
Exactly.
I'm never going to see my kids strangling each other and be like, no, stop roughhousing.
Yeah.
Because no.
That's not roughhousing.
It's attempted murder.
Exactly. So keep in mind how many people have seen this strange behavior of Mary Bell's and have just played it off. Okay, so.
I mean, and her like, actions are, like, days, not, like, either the next day or, like, a couple days after. Like, she is back-to-back doing some craziness.
Right. We had to pause the recording because I had to unbutton my pants.
I'm wearing leggings, so.
Yeah. I could breathe. Anyways, after this incident, Mary Bell's weirdness kept showing through. And it really only, like, progressed with strange behavior. Mary Bell showed up to the family of Martin Brown's. Okay, he's already dead. And asked if she could see him. His mother told Mary Bell, being sympathetic, that he was dead. Like, I'm sorry, he can't come to the door. Like, he passed away. And Mary Bell responded, I already know that. I wanted to see his body in the casket.
No.
Yes.
But she didn't know him?
She did know him.
She knew him.
Yeah.
Like, they were friends. I don't want to say friends, but, like,
they played together.
They played together. So the mom thought it was this innocent act.
Right.
And what?
Yeah.
Not can I see his dead body.
In the casket.
Like, you already saw him when you murdered him.
Yeah. Exactly.
She's cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs.
You just wait. Shortly after that interaction, Mary Bell and her friend Norma broke into a nursery school and vandalized it with graffiti stating that they were the ones responsible for the death of Martin Brown on the walls, and they promised to kill again. One of the graffiti said, and I quote, "I murder so that I may come back." And it was like very kid-like handwriting. The spelling was really off.
Yeah.
It was, they had just learned to draw their M's. So, like, you know, the mountains of the M's were really high and stuff. I mean, like, they're kids.
I can't even imagine. But my question is, was it Norma?
Norma.
Girl.
Yeah.
Like, I know this is Mary Bell's crime, but sis, I need to know how you played out in life, because you are probably a murderer as well.
Uh-huh. The police, again, I will say it again, thought this was just a prank and brushed it off.
Are they idiots?
Everything is just a prank to them. Oh, kids will be kids.
I feel like they're acting like the LAPD back in the day when, like, all those crimes were happening and they were, like, doing really janky investigations. And yeah. It was just like, what are you doing? Like, this,
like,
is
when modern people, like, your normal people that are not investigators do a better job than you.
Yeah.
Like,
we could have probably
TikTok
solved this.
Did the Gabby Petito case.
Oh, like, my gosh. Yes.
Why are normal people doing your job?
Right. Are you getting paid to do nothing?
Right. But the nursery school actually felt different. They were very disturbed. And so they decided to install an alarm system. Now, keep in mind, this is the 60s.
What kind of alarm system?
I think it was your basic, if the door opens.
Like, beep, boop.
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly. Because of this bold strategy by the nursery, the security at the nursery school actually caught Norma and Mary Bell several nights later loitering outside the nursery.
Mm.
However, because they had not caught them in the act of anything alarming, they were let off the hook again by police.
We could have been done with this case.
Uh-huh.
If people would have just done their damn jobs.
I'm 100% with you. All of these warning signs, Mary Bell was feeling some type of way. Like, she's, like, feeling invincible.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, getting a big head.
Like, you're blatantly writing, like, I killed him on the wall. And you keep getting caught, and they're just like, don't choke him. Don't shove sand down his throat.
Yep.
Like, absolutely. And I bet she's going to escalate. I bet she is. I put money on it.
So, she's feeling unstoppable, uncatchable. She goes to school and starts telling her classmates that she killed Martin Brown.
I knew she was going to do some.
No one believed her. Which is why no one, including the teachers, reported it at the time of her saying all of this.
You are a mandated reporter. I don't even know if mandated reporters were things back then.
But where's your head? Because it should be on the freaking swivel.
And regardless if you thought it was a prank, kids don't joke about killing other kids.
Or suicide. Like, you need to be reporting all these things.
Like,
you legally now, and this is England, so I don't know their laws, and I don't know what was going on in the 60s, but abuse, neglect, she was getting pimped out.
Like, yes.
You should have been reporting this.
These were all warning signs. I mean, I don't know if the teacher would necessarily know these things if it was, like, out and about, or if her mom kept it on the hush-hush. But, like, still, like, I'm pretty sure she didn't say it in a way like, ha-ha, I killed him. Like, I'm pretty sure she was like, I killed him. You know what I mean? I did that. I am responsible. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, I feel like kids will be like, oh, my God, I'm going to kill you. But, like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like it wasn't coming like that from her.
Right. And her mom was a known prostitute. Like, this was not a secret.
Mm.
So, however, they did start believing her when another boy had turned up dead.
No.
Yes.
Not another boy.
On July 31st, 2 months after her first murder of Martin Brown, Mary Bell and Norma kill a 3-year-old boy, Brian Howie, by strangulation.
What is wrong with these kids?
Yes.
And where are Norma's parents?
Yeah. Yeah. This time, though, After Brian was already dead, Mary Bell mutilated the body with a pair of scissors, scratching his thighs and butchering his penis. It was the three-year-old boy. To make this even worse, when Brian's sister went out to look for her missing brother around dinner time, Mary and Norma offered to help her in the search for him.
Look at them inserting themselves. Mm-hmm. You read, like, who read is the, my mind. Like, who was the common denominator? Norma and Mary.
They were outside the nursery. They went back to Martin Brown's house. She strangled Norma's sister. She strangled the three girls on the playground.
She out here strangling.
She's a strangler.
She's like the first Hillside Strangler.
But like the England one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah. The neighborhood also started joining in on the search, and it was to be noted that reportedly while looking for the missing three-year-old boy, the girls were laughing, singing, and skipping around. The girls even pointed out a block, like a section of concrete blocks where Brian was laying. And the sister dismissed it, thinking, well, he wouldn't be over there. That doesn't make sense.
You know, I had a feeling that she was going to, like, they would either find it or direct them to. It's just in her MO at this point. Like, she's openly saying that she's doing all of these things. No one's believing her. She's doing it again. Oh, look at those blocks over there. We should check there.
Yeah, which was not a normal place for a body to be. So they were like, no.
And why would you think that?
Right. When Brian's body was found, the neighborhood was in a complete panic. Two boys were dead at this point. The police knew this was a homicide and began an immediate investigation.
Finally.
Yes. Well, I mean, Brian died by strangulation, but then Mary Bell obviously took it that step further with mutilation. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And now they're like, okay, this clearly wasn't an accident.
Yeah, and there were no pills probably next to him, so it wasn't like an accidental overdose.
Well, the investigator said that when he arrived on the scene, it looked very eerily familiar to Martin Brown.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. The police began interviewing local children, hoping someone would say something that they knew or that they had seen. They ended up interviewing over 1,200 children.
Wow.
And visiting over 1,000 houses. They even gave all these parents a like series of like questionnaires to fill out.
Okay.
I guess for documentation purposes. However, it wasn't the children in the neighborhood that revealed anything of importance at the time. But it was Brian himself that gave police a detail that was the break that they needed. When the coroner's report came back, new marks appeared on Brian's chest. Someone had used a razor blade and scratched the letter M into his torso.
Dummy.
Due to the lack of force, they knew that this attack stemmed from a childlike strength.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Dummy.
Yeah. Mary Bell and Norma did a shit job of disguising their interest in the case. They were literally skipping and laughing when it got brought up and all of these things.
And no one's like, this is weird.
Right. And, you know, most criminals do have a fascination with the crime that they've committed.
Yeah, but they normally keep it under wraps, you know what I mean?
Or like this and insert themselves.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they both acted super strangely in their interviews with police, and reports say that Norma was way too excited and Mary Bell was very evasive. Especially when the police pointed out that Mary Bell had been with Brian the day of his death. Even more suspicious is on that day of Brian's funeral, Mary Bell was spotted lurking outside his house, rubbing her hands together and laughing as she saw the coffin appear. Yeah. It was in that action that the police interviewed Mary Bell again, and this time she came with a story.
Oh, let's hear it, Mary.
Right. She told police that she had seen an 8-year-old boy hit Brian on the day he died. The boy had been carrying a pair of scissors, too.
How convenient.
How convenient. Which led to her biggest mistake, because the mutilation of the body with scissors had been kept private from the press and the public.
Let's go, Mary, you big stupid dummy.
And the 8-year-old that she tried to blame was seen on footage at the airport the day of the murder. So, like, alibi.
Yeah. You didn't dot your I's and cross your T, girl. Uh-huh. You didn't do that. I mean, you can't even make an M. You just learned.
It was a detail known only to investigators and the one other person who had likely been Brian's killer.
Mm.
So the police press, and with that extra pressure, Norma and Mary both broke. Norma began cooperating with police, implicating Mary. Norma said that Mary had taken Norma to see Brian's dead body. Mary told her that she killed Brian and explained exactly how she did it. Norma even showed police where Mary Bell had hid the razor blade under one of those concrete blocks.
They didn't pick it up?
Yeah, once she had showed them.
Yeah, so that whole time when they're, like, getting his body, removing it, all that, they didn't think to pick up some cinder blocks to, like, look for shit.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not the brightest. We've learned that.
We have learned that.
We have, yeah.
Yeah. Police went and picked Mary Bell up for more interviews, clearly, because Norma is now cooperating and, like, telling these things. Mary Bell was livid, and police told Mary that Norma had already shown them where the razor blade was. Like, the jig is up.
Yes.
The jig is up. Mary got so angry that she threatened to kill Norma.
Like, in front of the police?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Like, right.
Like, she's really showing her age at this point.
Uh-huh. So, they did end up letting Mary Bell go. They brought both of the girls back when they had more evidence, and Mary ended up being present during the murder, but placed all the blame on...
Norma!
Norma!
She did it!
Yep. So this is now a classic case of he said, she said, with both girls going back and forth and blaming each other. So, of course, both girls were charged and the trial was set.
Let's go.
The police went to Mary Bell and Norma's school to get books to compare the writing that was on the nursery school vandalism to the writing of the girls. Because they now knew, like, okay, well, all of these things had to be intertwined somehow.
Yes.
So the handwriting was a key evidence in written confession. Obviously, if they could compare the two books and say, yes, this was Norma and this was Mary Bell, this is a confession because they had painted it on the walls. The girls thought they were very slick. And so Norma would write one word and Mary Bell would write the second because obviously it's different handwriting.
Yes.
So it's like Norma's handwriting, Mary Bell's, Norma's, Mary Bell's, Norma's, Mary Bell's.
That's so funny because I'm literally the detective on my team. So anytime like notes get put in kids' book bags, they come to me because I purposely have all my kids do stuff on paper. So I have handwriting from them. So when they come to me, I'm like, all right, well, whose class is it? And I pull all their writing and I compare all the letters. And we just, this is so funny that we're talking about this today. Last week, someone got a note in their book bag and we're looking and I immediately look at the handwriting and I know the student. Because one, you have beautiful handwriting. When I tell you it's beautiful, you have beautiful handwriting. Handwriting that I wish I had in the third grade. But this particular student knows how to switch things up. So this student wrote their A's. Like, you know how, not the circle and the down right. A, the one that's like
fancy
the little fancy A. I write my A's like that. And so does the student. But the A's in the writing were the circle A's. So when I'm looking through work, I'm seeing all the fancy A's. And I'm like, I know, like, we all collectively looked at the papers and were like, nah, that's their handwriting. That's it. But we couldn't match some of the letters. But then I found one assignment that they got tripped up.
Oh.
And you were caught. Mm-hmm. Detective Brandt on the rescue.
I also, that's like my first thing that I say to my class every year when they get to know me. I'm like, so by the way, I write my F's backwards. And I've done it since I learned how to write. No, I'm not going to change my ways. And no, you're not going to fix me. And I kid you not, I teach eighth graders. They've been writing for like 9 years by now. And every single year, somebody leaves my classroom writing their F's backwards.
Wait, why did I just learn this about you? You're going to have to grab a pen later so I can see.
I mean, it's
because that's really, how bizarre.
I know. It's weird. So, also in this little school book of Mary Bell's, they found a story that she wrote after Martin Brown had died.
Hmm.
It said, there were crowds of people outside an old house. I asked what was the matter. There had been a boy who just laid down and died. Underneath the story was a hand-drawn picture of Martin's dead body, a worker discovering the body, and a pill bottle labeled tablet. What is strange about this picture is that the pill bottle was never released to the press.
Mary Bell, you're not very smart.
This was a confident, like, this was concealed.
Yes.
Like, they never released this information. So the media knew nothing about this, only the police. So at the trial, the prosecutor told the court that Mary Bell's reasoning for committing all of these murders was solely for the pleasure and excitement of killing, unquote.
Oh, no. Lock her up and throw away the key. Lock her up. What you mean,
Meanwhile, on the outside, the press were calling her a natural, evil-born child.
Yes.
The whole trial was one big show for good old Betty Bell, who used this as a theater stage. She would show up to trial, would cry and act hysterical, storm out in the middle of the trial, and reappear. So she's using this for
attention. She's using this. She's probably getting more prostitution, you know, of callers, because she's the mom of the killer.
Right. Oh, I'll get to that.
Oh, gosh.
The jury agreed that collectively Mary Bell committed these murders.
Good
and
girl.
They did give a guilty verdict in December. However, they did not convict her of murder. They convicted her on manslaughter charges because of the account of a psychiatrist who had convinced the jury that Mary Bell showed classic symptoms of psychopathy.
I mean, yeah, she's a psycho, but given her history and everything she has presented, like, she's not going to stop.
He said that she could not be held responsible for her actions.
What?
Uh-huh. And I'm also sure that this charge, like, so keep in mind that the jury said yes. We agree. She committed these murders. Like, we are telling you, yes, we agree with you. But we're not going to charge her with murder. We're going to charge her with manslaughter. Because I think her age played into account.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah.
And this, you know, psychiatrist says, okay, well, she's a psychopath. Yeah, we clearly see that.
Yeah, good her.
Yeah. So, Mary was described by the judge as being very bright and very sharp. She was able to, like, come back with counsel when they asked her questions. She would even make very witty remarks to the counsel. Norma, on the other hand, was acquitted.
Why?
Because they, the judge and the prosecution and the defense and all that, felt that she was an unwilling accomplice that just fell under a bad influence and a rotten egg.
I mean, I can see that. However, like, you continually went with her to all these things. Everything that she did, you were present. You were there when she put the sand down the people's throat. You were there when those boys were killed. You were there when she was strangling your sister. Mm-hmm. But you never said anything about it.
Right.
So if you really were an unwilling participant, you would have said something to somebody, which you didn't. You were skipping around helping look for Brian's body.
Right. So they also said that what they took into account was that Norma wasn't very bright, if you get where I'm going with
that. She was a dipsy doodle.
She wasn't very bright, and Mary was the clear dominant personality of the two.
I mean, I can see that. She's definitely the ringleader.
Yeah. So the judge determined that Mary Bell was a dangerous person to society and a serious threat to other children. She was sentenced to prison at Her Majesty's pleasure. This is basically a place where your sentence is until the powers of be deem it appropriate to let you out. That's literally how it was described in that source.
I mean, the name alone, Her Majesty's Pleasure.
Right.
That sounds like a freaking princess castle.
Exactly. So this was like, go here, serve 12 years, serve 12 years, serve 10 years, serve 9. We don't really know. We'll let you know how we're feeling. Okay. So this was a very case-by-case sentence. And Britain didn't have much experience at the time with detaining children. I mean, obviously. Yeah. And this, they felt, was like the best that they could do. Until Mary was put into an all-boys reform school called Red Bank Community Home.
That's not sitting well with me already, because she's already killed two boys.
Uh-huh.
And why would you put her in an all-boys school?
Oh, but they made an exception. It's no longer all boys because Mary goes there now. So it's a co-ed.
It's not co-ed if it's just one.
Oh, it's officially co-ed to them.
That's...
Yeah. Betty visited her daughter very regularly.
I'm sure she did.
Yeah. And every time, Mary Bell said she was very happy to see her mother. But quickly, when her mother left, the school reported that she would act out and get in trouble.
Mm.
Betty, however, was making quite the profit off Mary. Mm. She was selling her story to tabloids. And she even encouraged Mary to write letters and poems so that she could sell them to the press.
I'm not surprised.
Mary made 50,000 pounds. In the 1960s, the pound is worth more than the dollar.
She made mad bread.
For a story of murdering these boys. Profiting off of these boys' deaths.
I can't even begin to wrap my mind around this. Like, you come up there and you acting like this doting mother, like you were so involved in your child's life, and then you're using her. And I'm pretty sure, like, when you were saying that she would act, she would say like she was happy to see her mom. Like in my brain, I feel like she was happy to see her mom because she was lacking that maternal figure in her life. So I feel like she wanted to like be happy when she saw her. And then essentially when she left, it was like almost like PTSD. You know what I'm saying?
I agree 100%. So in these like letters that her mom would like encourage her to write, Mary would write to her mother and say that, like, I'm blaming you for this. I'm blaming you for how I turned out today. Will you please? She would beg her mom to, like, own up and take responsibility for the way that she was and what her mother made her into.
And I bet that she never published those poems and letters. Mm.
So at 6:00, well, her mom did an interview. And in the interview, they're like, you know, what could have caused this? And her mom's like, I mean, like, maybe because me and her dad fought.
Or maybe because you pimped out your daughter when she was 4.
And rubbed her face in her own pee.
And then hung it out for all the friends to see.
Go on, Betty.
Like, get out of here.
So at 16 years old, Mary was transferred to Moore Court Open Prison.
Open prison?
Exactly what you're thinking. Exactly what you're thinking. And it was basically a prison with minimum supervision, and the inmates were just trusted to complete their sentence of good behavior.
Oh, God. I know she killed more people, didn't she?
They were not locked up, they could be employed, and they were allowed to leave the grounds.
Yep. Because that seems like a good thing for a psychopath.
Mary Bell was caught multiple times sneaking out to go have sex with her boyfriend.
She had a boyfriend.
Oh, she had a boyfriend.
Mm-hmm. A boyfriend?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Who is dating? Does he know about your past, Mary?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, child.
Well, the powers that be have now decided.
Don't know that she's good enough to go.
That they're impressed with Mary Bell's treatment and rehabilitation and feel it's appropriate to let Mary Bell out in 1980. Keep in mind, the crimes were committed in 1968, so it's been 12 years. She was 11 at the time. She is now 23. She was released on a license. And again, this is kind of different than what we do in the States, so I'm going to explain this.
Yeah.
A license was meant, this meant that she was technically still serving her sentence, but was able to do so while living in the community under strict conditions / probation.
So like house arrest.
Right. Essentially. Okay. Additionally, Mary Bell was given a brand new identity to provide her with a new chance of life and protect her from media attention and hate from the community.
I'm sure her mother blew that up.
This didn't stop them, though, and on many occasions she was found out throughout her like time in her 20s, and she was hounded, which forced her to move several times.
Oh, poor Mary.
Oh, ain't no, we're so sad.
I'm so sad for you.
I'm so sad the media found you and wanted to do your story.
Because you're a murderer. But you're reformed now.
Right. Then lo and behold, remember that boyfriend?
Did she kill him?
Reproduced.
Okay. I mean, oh.
Mary Bell had a daughter in 1984, and to be specific, she gave birth on this daughter on the 16th anniversary of Martin Brown's death.
And I know she secretly was probably pushing out that baby like like when she was rubbing her hands during his funeral.
Yeah. So this is 27 years old that Mary gives birth. Her daughter did not find out about her mother and who she really was until she was 14 years old when the media found Bell's common law husband and tracked Belle down. Mm-hmm. Soon the media was like surrounding her house and camping out in front of it for days. The family had to escape with bedsheets over their heads to avoid tabloids. Again, I go back to, oh, poor Mary.
Oh, too sad.
Yeah. So today, like right now, in today's time period, Mary Belle is in protective custody. She's the one being protected at a secret address.
In England?
Yes. Both she and her daughter remain anonymous and are protected under a court order. Obviously, the parents of the boys who lost their lives don't agree with this protection, and Martin Brown's mother has become very vocal about this.
As she should have been.
Yes, and she said, and I quote, "It's all about her and how she has to be protected. As victims, we're not even given the same rights as killers." She even went on to say, and I quote, "She took my blessing and left me with grief for the rest of my life. I hope when she looks at this child, she remembers the two that she murdered."
Yes.
Nevertheless, Mary Belle remains in protected custody, and court rulings protect her identity. And this whole act of giving inmates that are released in England new identities and protecting them is called the Mary Belle Orders.
That's disgusting. That is absolutely disgusting. She murdered those two boys, and you're going to name some protective order after her like it's a freaking honor?
Yeah.
Like, there's no way. Like, they literally said in court that she is a danger to other children. Mm-hmm. And you're just out here living your life?
Oh, and she became a grandmother in the 2000s, along with her daughter, her, and now her granddaughter, because the daughter was supposed to lose those that court protection at 18.
Okay.
Mary Belle filed a petition and asked for a lifelong protection for her daughter. They granted it. Now, with her granddaughter also gets that same protection.
I mean, I can see her granddaughter and her daughter being protected because they were born into it. They didn't ask for the mother, the grandmother that they received. But Mary, hang her out to dry, okay? And Mary, if you listening to this, girl, stay your ass in England and don't come and kill me, because I'm just saying what I feel, okay?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. So they feel like Mary now in her 60s, 70s is fully reformed.
Wonder if, like, when she dies, if, like, we'll find out, you know? Because does the protective order go away when you die?
That's a good question.
Because I feel like people need to know that she's dead.
But at 14, you find out your mother did all of these things. Like, that's when her daughter found out. What was the feelings there?
I'd love to have a sit down with her. I have so many questions.
Like, were you angry at your mother because she's not who you thought she was? Did you ask her questions? Like, but they all live in a house together. Like, all three are protected, and they live in an address together.
Like, is that the stipulation? Like, because you are all under protective order, you have to stay in the same house?
I don't know if that's just what they want to do. I don't really know.
Because if that's the case, then even if she didn't, like, agree with her mother's actions when she found out, she had no choice but to live there. You know what I'm saying? Like, she couldn't avoid it. But I feel, from what it sounds like, I feel like she was I don't know. I don't know if she was a good mom, but I feel like, I wonder what that conversation was like. Mm-hmm. Like, so mom, I heard this thing. And she's like, come here, baby. Let me tell you a story about how I rocked everybody's world.
At 11 years old. You're already doing better than me, kid.
Like, how do you process that? And also, where's Norma?
Oh, she's just living her best life. Fully acquitted.
Just out here.
Out here. Got to go home and be with her family.
Nah, she has to be a killer, bro. She has to be a killer.
Even if Norma, let's just say that Norma really was manipulated in the way that the court made it out to be.
Uh-huh.
There's severe trauma there.
Oh, absolutely.
Even as a secondhand partner of, you know, in the court claimed she didn't know what she was doing. Okay, maybe she didn't. But you still witnessed all of that.
Yeah.
You still were a partner. Like, you can't tell me you don't have nightmares.
You have to. You have to have PTSD.
I don't, there's another case I want to cover later on, but I'm learning a lot about laws outside of the U.S. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this case shows that after these inmates are released, they are protected. And I don't live in these countries, but I don't agree with that.
Not at all. Not at all. I don't agree either. Like, I feel like if you had the audacity to do something like that, own your shit. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So now you're hiding behind all these protective orders, living your best life when these two little boys have no life to no longer live.
That's like us letting the Menendez brothers out and just giving them a new identity.
Yeah, just like, oh,
maybe you'll do better with this one. You're Todd and you're Billy.
You know, you'll be all right. Try again. If at first you don't succeed, dust yourself off. No, it does not work that way.
Oh, God.
That was devastating.
So my question, it was devastating. Do you think this is a case of nature versus nurture?
Absolutely. I've seen cases that people have been through. Like, here's the thing. People go through shit all the time. Mm-hmm. I feel like if you have people who are, like, outside of your family who are, like, positive influences, you are able to get yourself out of something like that. You know what I mean? But I feel like Mary didn't have anyone like that.
My whole philosophy, and this comes from just things that I like personally went through as a child, and I'm not saying that I had a horrible childhood. I had a great childhood. But I always, as an adult now, have the understanding that how you grow up, good, bad, ugly, whatever it is, how you grow up, you have two options in life. You either run straight towards the same lifestyle and the same choices, or you saw enough shit that you run the complete opposite direction and you make something more of yourself.
Yes.
And there were certain things with my parents that I won't do as a parent one day. And my sister's the same way. She is a mom now. And there are things like my mom often was a very big penny pincher. Like, I mean, you ask her and you would have gotten an answer that we lived in a cardboard box. She just thought we were always broke.
Yeah.
Now, I had what we wanted. You know, don't get me wrong. But in her mind, we were broke. Mm-hmm. My sister took that, and now if my niece wants it, whoo, baby girl, you get it. Mm. What you want? We ain't broke. Okay, you want it? Okay, you want that new car right there? I'm all right. You want that little Mercedes Jeep? Beep, beep. Also, Mary, this is your shout out. Mary!
Dang, we shouted out last time and this one.
I know.
She got a double play.
Shout out. Mary!
Mary! Oh. But not Mary Bell.
I was about to say, not Mary Bell.
But not Mary Bell. We can't stand your ass.
Yeah.
Okay?
So I feel like you're right. This is a case of nature versus nurture. And I feel like from experience, you either run towards the lifestyle that you were born and raised in, or you run away from it and you do better. Mm-hmm. Mary Bell kind of is doing both.
Yeah.
She like ran towards it, and her dad was a serial criminal. And so she became a serial killer. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, oop, boop, I'm reformed. Okay, now let me go have a normal life.
Let me go have a kid.
And a grandkid.
And just live my life.
I can't.
I would love to be a fly on the wall in that house.
Wouldn't you though?
Mary Bell's daughter, if you're listening, I really just want to, I just have
pick
some,
your brain.
I just want to know, like, I know that's your mom, because I've seen plenty of cases with kids of serial killers. Like, I would have never known. They were such great parents. They always took care of me. They were sweet. I would have never expected this from my parent. But I feel like there's not enough information. I want to know, like, was she really good? Or are you literally trapped in this house because of this protective order and you can't go and you literally hate her guts? You know what I mean?
I often wonder that, and this is not even it is related, but I also wonder that about Ted Bundy's daughter. You know, because she legally changed her name after he was put to death.
I mean, do you blame her?
Hell no.
Because everybody would have been like, hey.
Hey, let me talk to you about your daddy.
Let me talk to you.
I don't know. Like, does her daughter just go and have a normal job and go and kick it with her coworkers as like Anne or something, you know, like under a random name?
Like, at this point, I feel like nobody even knows who Mary is and who anybody is. So anybody, I feel like, could be interacting with them like they're a normal person. You are literally talking to a serial killer.
Yeah.
An 11-year-old serial killer.
Uh-huh. Mm-mm. Who attempted two others and didn't actually succeed. Mm-hmm. Three others.
Oh, yeah, because the three girls on the playground, right?
Three girls on the playground. The boy she pushed off the roof.
Oh, yes, the
and
boy.
And Norma's sister.
Yes. Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Mm. Wow. You guys are antsy after that one, huh? Y'all ready to go?
Where are y'all going? The bell don't dismiss you. I do.
Just kidding.
Bye.
See you guys next time. This was episode 6. Bow.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just out here kicking it.